Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. I, of course, am Pixel Dan, and as always, I am joined by this guy over here.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Jonathan Leonard!
I spoke too quickly.
Yeah, that's okay. We actually have a third member of the podcast here today. He has been with us several times in the past. It's been a while since he's been on, yeah. So welcome back to Ryan Needham. How's it going, Ryan?
How you guys doing? It's been a full year.
It's your first time doing YouTube with us.
I know. It is. This is the first time you guys get to see what Ryan looks like. The whole world is seeing you now.
I know.
That's him.
Internet.
So yeah, Ryan's back. It's been a full year.
Full year.
Full year last, since we've had him on.
The podcast I did was the Turtles one.
Yeah, which would have been
the
last
Turtles
August.
One.
Last August.
Wow, that was last August. So
good
it has
gravy.
Been a year. It has been a year. And you've been listening to every episode, because I know every time we put a new one up, you always email us right away.
Pretty much.
Basically have the same discussions with us.
Because
you wanted to be
You're
part
wrong.
Of it.
You're all wrong. This is what really happened. But no.
So what have you been doing in your absence?
Was it after I left you guys, I went to New York and worked on a show there.
Yep.
And then I went to L.A. again and worked on the Academy Award show. And then after that, I worked on a movie with an actor all over the world. And then after that, I worked with literally right after that, we went to Atlanta and worked on another movie. And just wrapped a couple weeks ago, and now I'm back.
I like how
vague.
Very vague that
Nobody
all
Nobody needs
is.
To
can't,
know.
Can't get into all those details.
There's a guy, he does stuff, and I'm with him sometimes.
Yep.
I got a guy.
So if you guys haven't heard any of our episodes with Ryan before, then we can now introduce him to you as our buddy who works in the movies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he works in the movies. So all these fun things that we talk about on the show, sometimes Ryan's there doing things.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So that's fun.
Talking about...
things
that I've worked on.
I think that's the thing. The thing that I've learned from you actually working at your level of the industry is that it's not particularly different than just hanging out on the internet. You know a few things, you don't know some stuff, and then basically you just talk about what you like.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Very cool. Well, hey, we got a few topics that we definitely wanted to get through today, and then we have a bunch of write-ins, a lot of questions, a lot of suggested topics. So we should have a pretty stacked episode here. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And I know one of the things that I wanted to go ahead and start off talking about, it just happened, so it's kind of fresh in my mind, and Jonathan, you were with me, and that was for Force Friday, which was the big release of all the new Star Wars merchandise. They did it a little bit different this year than they've ever done before. They basically set a specific date. This is a Disney thing, by the way. Disney did this.
Hey, man. Let them run.
Yep, they set a specific date, and they said... no product can be revealed, sold, etc., involving Episode 7 until that date.
Totally embargoed.
So they embargoed everything until this date, so it became an event.
Yeah.
And it got dubbed Force Friday. So on this day, suddenly all the retail stores were flooded with merchandise from everything from toys to food items to t-shirts to band-aids, whatever. Anything that's got the Episode 7 logo on it was able to be released on Force Friday, and of course the toys were a big part of that.
It's very reminiscent of back in 99 when they did, what was it, We Hope This Doesn't Suck Thursday,
or... I think that was the
whatever they called it.
That was the official name. 99 was the one that I kept kind of referencing as comparison, because they did a few midnight releases for toys for the other Star Wars movies, but 99 was the crazy one. It was the big one, because Phantom Menace was the first new Star Wars movie.
Yeah, we hadn't seen Star Wars in 16 years,
So it was a big
deal.
And
that was the big, we didn't know a lot of the characters and a lot of the looks and a lot of those new things. We hadn't seen any of those before, so that was the one that was reminiscent, except... the day and date, it didn't really feel the same at all.
Right.
Which pros and cons,
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there's a lot more excitement going into... well, I can't say that. Back in 99, when the toys were debuted, there was tons of excitement going into the movies. So that day was just a big whirlwind.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going into Toys R Us, and there were displays everywhere. There was what felt like, a couple hundred people, I'm sure, that were there. It felt like there was a lot more than there was this time. And we were in a smaller market area anyway. We're not, like, in the big cities.
Right.
So there weren't, like, thousands. But there was a pretty long line.
Yeah.
And, you know, people elbowing and knocking people out of the way, buying three of everything.
Everybody needed Darth Maul.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
needed him.
Going nuts, you know. And then that's the closest thing. So that's kind of what we walked into going, I wonder what it's like 20 yeah. years later, 16 years later, or yeah. whatever. And it's smaller.
It was way different, yeah. right? It was a much different experience. One more thing about the 99 event, my favorite thing that's really kind of been on the internet, meme-wise, of Starting Force Friday, is all of these pictures from that 99 Midnight Madness of people
oh, really?
Walking around with, like, stacks and stacks of Episode 1 toys and, like, carrying them in their mouths and stuff, like, fighting over them. Looking at those pictures, knowing how worthless all of those toys yeah. are right now.
Yep.
Like, yep. You know, there's all the meme pictures that says things like, these are going to be worth millions
yeah.
and stuff like that. So
yeah.
that cracks me up. But,
oh,
yeah.
They out-marketed us on that one, that's
yeah,
for sure.
yeah. And honestly, I kind of feel, as we start talking about our experience with this year's Force Friday, I almost feel like Hasbro, or maybe Disney as a whole, was trying a little bit not to have a repeat of that this year. Because there wasn't as much product.
Yeah.
There also wasn't as much demand, or at least people weren't as crazy and chaotic this time. And like you said, there was a lot less people there. I think we had less than 40 people in
yeah.
that
there
line
were more,
at Toys
like
R Us.
I said, our line right outside the Toys R Us, there were more spiders than there were people.
Oh my God, dude. The spiders were insane.
Yeah, they were nuts. They were just dangling right down from the ceiling into the crowd.
It was
frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. But I think I counted like 21 people standing in front of us, and there was barely anybody behind us.
Yeah.
So the best part was when the guy came out and he's like, we're only going to let 50 people in at a time. And like, we all
yeah.
kind of like looked around yeah. and we just kind of like laughed and we were like, all right, I guess that
yeah.
means all of us.
Yeah. It was like, there might be three people in the back really mad.
Yeah.
You know, if it gets to that point. But, well, and I will say too, I don't know, I'm playing a lot of that off of memory.
Uh-huh.
Because there was a ton of Episode 1 stuff. But it seemed more diversified this time.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't all just, because with the Episode 1, there were, like, three waves of figures, it felt like, that came out at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With this one, there was a couple of different styles of figures, but not very many in each wave.
Uh-huh.
But there were micro machines, there were games, was remote
yeah.
control stuff, there was little kids stuff, there were, you know, there were books, the Chuck Wendig book, I know, just came out that day. Like, there was all sorts of stuff this time that it wasn't just, you know, playsets and action figures. It was way less playsets and action figures, and then a ton more of just other stuff.
Just any kind
of
Star Wars merch.
Yeah. And so, as far as different products, I don't know if there was, I'm sure there was less. I don't know how much less. There was just so much less, like, there wasn't a million of everything.
Right.
100 things came out, and there was two or three of each. Whereas
yeah.
last time, you know, 100 or 200 things came out, and there was a million of each.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Yeah,
because that was kind of the disappointing part about Toys R Us, is like, we got over to the toy aisle, and they had only had like one or two cases, maybe, of those figures. So the first three or four guys that walked down that aisle were the lucky ones that were able to grab
yep.
them all, and then that was it. And everybody else was just kind of standing there like, well, I guess there's no toys for
yeah.
us.
Well, and they gave us a warning before we went
yeah.
in, too. They're like, no more of, like, three of each one of any individual item per
yeah.
person. I was like, oh, that's a great rule. I like that rule a lot. And then we got in there, and they're like, they don't have three of anything.
Yeah, exactly.
They got two of everything.
Yeah.
And that's it. So,
yeah.
great rule, guys.
Yeah, so Toys R Us was a serious letdown.
Yeah.
And come to find out, it was not just ours. It was Toys R Us nationwide.
Was it?
Everybody had the same complaint about Toys
well,
R Us.
Well, they didn't make it an event. Like I said, back in 99, it was an event. They
yeah.
got into it. There were people in costumes, both
mm-hmm.
that worked there and in line. There were giant displays all through the store. Like, you walk in and you're hit with Star Wars stuff, and then there's Star Wars stuff everywhere else, you know? And it's not all, like, you know, like, not even all the stuff that fit in those certain parts of the stores. Like, you go to the kids' aisle, and there was just more figures, because they had so many.
Yeah.
This one, you walked in, everybody funneled to the action figure aisles, which are towards the back of the store. They got to the one aisle that had all the Star Wars stuff. There was a few displays here and there, but there weren't, like, big things everywhere that could spread everybody out. Everything was concentrated into the area that it's going to be all
yeah.
week, all
yeah.
month,
yeah.
you know, until the movie comes out, whatever. and they funnel into that aisle, they squeeze in as tight as they can, they grab whatever's there, and then they walk away, and that's it. There's nowhere else to go and look for stuff.
Right, that was it.
There was a couple, yeah, there was a couple you ran into who were super excited because they found other stuff they had been looking for.
Yeah!
That wasn't even Star Wars stuff, but they're like, we haven't seen this stocked in a while, and nobody's looking in this aisle, so we found it.
Yeah, you know? That's true. Yeah. I think, like, one of the guys we ran into found, like, the new 66 Batman,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
playset, yep, and he was, yep, so excited. Yep. And I was,
which,
like,
awesome, cool.
Yeah, I was, like, that's a great find. You know, yeah. Well, and I even like ran over to the turtle section just to see if they like stocked, yeah, any new stuff, because I was like, I'm not getting any Star Wars toys, they're all gone.
Yeah,
maybe I'll go find something else I want.
Yeah,
but so yeah, Toys R Us was a bit of a letdown, but we ended up like wandering down to Walmart, and then I found pretty much everything I needed, yep, down at Walmart. Like, it was so funny too, because we did that with everybody else. Like, we got down to Walmart, and we saw all the same people, yeah, who didn't get toys, yeah, at Toys R Us.
All the guys who were in line with us at, yeah, Toys R Us were over there.
And they were all finding, you know, their toys at Walmart. Walmart had a much bigger stock, and apparently nobody went there for their toys until after they stopped at Toys R Us. Yeah. So, like, everybody's just kind of, you know, moseying into Walmart, and there's these couple of Walmart employees sitting over there with some cupcakes, like, waiting for people to buy their toys.
I missed the cupcakes.
I know. There was a table, and they had cupcakes on the table.
That's okay. I didn't need cupcakes. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, that's for sure. We didn't need cupcakes. But, yeah, I was able to get everything I want. Also, special thanks to
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, we met that cool fan.
Yeah,
Chris. Somebody,
yeah, Chris.
Yeah.
Who I gave a special shout-out to in a video I did already. But, yeah, it was a... I guess he was in line with us at Toys R Us.
I think so, yeah.
Is where we kind of recognized him. Yeah. But when we got to Walmart... And I went over to the section. I found everybody I wanted except for Kylo Ren. And just as I kind of said, oh, they don't have any more Kylos, but that's okay. I'm happy with what I found. Then he stepped up and he was just like, hey, are you Pixel Dan? And I was like, yeah, I am. He's like, oh, I'm a huge fan of yours. Here, I knew you were looking for this Kylo Ren. I grabbed an extra one for you. It was amazing. Yeah,
it was awesome.
It was so cool. So, yeah, you know, massive thanks to him. I was, yeah, able to leave Walmart with, you know, the whole wave of 6-inch figures, which is what I went out for that,
yep,
night. So I got what I wanted.
Why didn't, yep, you just send them out to go do this?
Just send people out to do things for me?
Bring me back this.
Come, go and
bring me
forth and find me toys.
Just not,
bring
his,
me
just not his style. You know, that was the thing, too. I went because I wanted to see what it was like, too. But you were hoping I could come and help film some stuff so you could,
oh,
do,
yeah,
some, like, kind of walkthrough stuff or whatever. And Toys R Us shot that down pretty quick, which I don't fault them for their rules or whatever. It perturbed me just a little bit that night, though, because I walked in filming you past two guys at the door.
Yeah.
We walked through the aisles, I'm filming you past four other employees, we get there, and then we get to the very, like, aisle that we're supposed to go in, and Captain Toys R Us is like, hey, we can't have you filming stuff in here. I'm like, the other six guys didn't care. Ah, whatever.
Yep.
We'll just follow,
yeah,
your rules.
And I knew, like, that was one of those things where I was just like, I'm going to try this and see if I can get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, knowing it was a 50-50 shot of getting shut, yeah, down. And we did. So that,
yeah,
kind of sucked. But I wasn't going to argue about,
nah,
it.
Nah, like,
know?
I said, I'm not going to cause a stink. Like, if,
yeah,
that's the... And that guy didn't make the rule. It's,
yeah,
just kind of a bummer, you know?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a national Toys R Us rule.
Yeah.
They don't allow filming in their stores. Because a lot of people like to go in there and do, like, toy hunt videos, and they film themselves at Toys R Us trying to find things
that
they want.
I don't, and so
Toys R Us put a stop to that.
I don't know everything about business, but I know a little bit about business,
yeah,
and I don't understand. I mean, I know Toys R Us isn't what it used to be. Not saying they're in danger of going under anytime soon or something like that, but I know the model as a whole is hurting because,
right,
everybody goes to the buy everything at the same place stores now, and you
or
can get
an Amazon.
There. So you, yeah, or
Amazon,
online.
Amazon's
so you'd
killing
think
them.
The last thing a franchise like that would want to do would be to dissuade people from drawing attention to them.
Right.
Like, if people are walking in with their own cameras going, hey, I'm going to film a commercial for you and put it on the internet and you don't have to pay me. You'd think they'd be all for that,
yeah,
you know, but,
yeah,
it's weird. Whatever.
Yeah, it is weird.
If you're listening, corporate Toys R Us, we disagree.
Thanks,
they're
Toys
not listening.
R Us.
No, they're not listening.
They are not,
yeah,
listening. I did go back out the next morning because I had to.
You kept sending me awesome texts.
Yeah, I kept sending John pictures all morning because I had to go out. Anyway, I took the day off. I took Force Friday off work because I was like, well, I'm going to go out late at night and buy all these toys. And then my plan was to spend all day filming my new toys, which I did. But I had to go take Spencer to his daycare anyway, take him to my sister's house. And so I was like, well, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm going to go ahead and go to Meijer and Target now since we didn't go there the night before. And ended up buying, that's where I got like the BB-8 which is amazing. I'll have to show that to you.
Yeah,
still.
We'll see that thing.
And I went over to Target and they had some more stuff too. So it was kind of cool being there and like seeing it all stocked. It's all like long gone now, which is funny. But before we get off this, I have two kind of mildly amusing employee stories to tell from that morning.
Okay.
We didn't have any weird employee encounters really at midnight, except for the guy that told us to turn the camera off. But we didn't really get like nerd shamed, right?
Yeah, no, not at all. All
right, so I definitely got a little bit of that Friday morning.
Really?
But it wasn't really shaming. It was more like, I guess I got looked at as the weird nerd guy that was buying Star Wars toys. So the first place I went was Meijer, and I bought that BB-8. And since it's an expensive item, it had one of those spider wrap security things on it.
Yeah.
And apparently at 8 o'clock in the morning, the only registers they have open are the check-yourself-out lanes.
Really?
Self-checkouts. Yeah. So I kind of walked around looking for regular lane because I was like, oh, I got this security thing on here. I'd rather just go through regular lane. They weren't open. So I was like, well, I'll go through self-checkout. So I rang it up. Fine. And then I kind of, you know, waved the guy over who was standing there, supposed to be watching. And he comes, you know, walking over. And I was like, hey, this has got a spider wrap on it. Can you take it off? And he picks it up and he looks at it and he goes, well, I mean, I don't know if you're actually going to be able to buy this. And I was like, well, what do you mean? And he goes, well, people have been trying to buy these all week and they keep coming up recalled. And I was like, oh, well, it's probably because you guys put these out before you were supposed to. But today's the release date, so I don't think there's going to be an issue. Yeah. And I had already rung it up and it rang up fine, right? And he goes, well, I mean, no, you don't get it. They keep coming up recalled. I don't think you're going to be able to buy it. And I was like, I think I'm going to, but, you know, can we try it at least? So he takes the spider wrap off, and I had already rung it up, so then I put it in the bag, and I paid. And he goes, oh, well, that's interesting. Okay. And then, as I'm, like, getting my receipt and getting ready to go my way, he just randomly goes, so what is that thing? Is that from the Star Wars cartoon or something? And I said, no, it's from the new movie that's coming out, you know? And I was actually, you know, just, you know, trying to explain it to him. And I was nice to with him and everything. And he goes, new movie? Well, I hope it doesn't suck like that last one. It was terrible. And then he just kind of like turned and walked away from me. And I was left standing there holding my bag. And I had this big smile on my face. I was just like, I don't even know.
100% honest. I think I probably know which guy at Meijer that was.
Really?
I bet. Yeah. I want to go back to that store with you and see if we can find him.
It's that guy, John. That's the guy.
That's the guy, John.
I don't like that guy either.
It was goofy. But so that was one of those things. Well, so I left, and I was just like, all right, whatever. Well, that was kind of funny.
People have been trying to buy him all week. It comes up recalled.
Why would that happen more than once?
Yeah, I know, right?
When that happens once, you go, well, I guess I can't sell these. Let me figure out why. And then you take them off the shelves.
I know.
Yeah, whatever.
So when I got over to Target, and this one was more of the, this is more of the situation of the employee that just doesn't understand what's going on. I'm over at Target, and I walk down the aisle, and there's, like, the aisle was empty. Nobody was really, had been down there yet. A few people had been down there. I ran into our friend Dave leaving Target with more stuff as I was walking in.
Yeah, we ran into him at both places the night before. Yeah.
Toys R Us and Walmart. So I'm, like, you know, looking at the Star Wars section, and there's another guy there, and we were both just kind of exchanging war stories from the night before, because he also was at Toys R Us, and we were just kind of laughing and talking and looking through the stuff. All of a sudden, this young Target employee comes, like, storming down the aisle with another employee, like, in tow behind him. He looked like he was probably 19, 20-ish, young 20s, maybe. He comes, like, storming to the aisle, and he stops, and he looks around, and he goes, see? See this? See? And he's pointing to everything at the other guy, and the other guy's just nodding. And he goes, look, it's all still here. It's all still here. I told them, nobody wants this stuff. And then the other guy goes, I know, you're right, I know. And then he goes, nobody listens to me. And he leaves the aisle, and then the other guy goes behind him. And I just kind of turned and looked at the other guy that was in the aisle with me, and we both kind of had this like look on our face like, what in the world was that all about?
At 8 in the morning.
At 8 in the morning.
They had been open 20 minutes.
It was ridiculous. I didn't. So,
because I guarantee that stuff didn't last a weekend.
No, it didn't.
You know, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh man.
So that was my funny. It's always funny to me sometimes just to kind of see like the people, I guess, who are really outside of the geek culture.
Yeah.
The way they look at it sometimes, and it's
we should probably do a focus feature on an episode sometime, just talking about the water cooler talk from the people who don't pay attention to the movies and stuff. Because as the people who are always up on the news and they know what's coming out and whatever else, it's always super interesting to talk to the guy who just randomly happened to see Thor 2 this weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And is really into the Marvel movies and just talk to the, and which again, I mean, I'm not trying to like. What, cool kid shame them?
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, like, cool, you get an entertainment out of it. It's just always a funny conversation. It's like, did you ever see that Thor 2? Yeah. Yeah, I see all those movies, you know, like, oh, well, this and that, and I didn't, you know, I didn't get this, but I really like that. It's always really, you know, like, it's interesting conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you run into the people who are sort of on the fringe. We're entertained, but we don't know what's going on.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, so that was, I don't know, it was funny. I'm glad it happened to me.
Dude, that's hilarious.
I'm glad it happened to me because it gave me stories to tell.
Oh, man.
But it was just one of those things where I was just like, these guys, like, come on, guys.
I think it's funny that Target employees have lackeys, apparently.
I know! This guy was just following him around, just agreeing with him. Yeah. You're right, Jeez, and then we went to Steak and Shake.
Yes,
Steak and Shake.
That was the deal. You said, hey, you want to come to Toys R Us with me, maybe help film? I'm like, yeah, I'll come for no reason, whatever. I'll just go, but you got to go to Steak and Shake with me afterwards at 1 in the morning. Because I want company.
Yeah.
Because I found something online they had called, and they got to be nationwide. I found it online. It's called a 7x7, which I couldn't find on any menu anywhere at Steak and Shake. But we got there. It was me and you and our other buddy James, who came just for the burger.
Yep. That's the only reason he went out on Force Friday. Yeah. It's because you told him about this burger.
Yeah. Because it was so random. He was talking to me like a couple of nights before. He's like, hey, you really going to Steak and Shake that night? Yeah, probably. He's kind of thinking of coming with you. I'm like, really? Okay, cool.
Why not?
But we went out there to get that, and the waitress came up because we're looking for it on the menu or whatever. I'm like, maybe they got a late night menu or whatever. She comes up. I'm like, hey, do you know something called a 7x7? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we'll have three of those, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
What it is it's a steak burger, but it's meat, cheese, meat, cheese, meat, cheese. It's a seven layer.
Seven patties high.
Seven patties with seven pieces of cheese and just a bun on each side.
It's ridiculous.
And that's
dude.
It, yeah. And James ordered it first. She's like, how do you want it? Or what do you want on it? He's like, everything, I guess. She goes,
no, you don't.
Yeah. She goes, you probably just want sauces on this one. You get everything and it starts to get like, eh.
Yeah,
you
know? Like way too tall.
So, but $7.77, you get that monster.
Yeah.
And fries.
Yeah.
And that was our reward food.
I just feel bad for the poor cook that had to cook up 21 burgers for three guys. Yeah.
I was telling somebody about it the other day. You know what they pointed out? Like, dude, you get that sandwich and a pack of buns, you can eat for a week.
Yeah.
For $8. You know?
No,
that's
kidding.
What I just tell them. Like, I want the 7x7, but can you just keep them separated? Or maybe just don't put the cheese on them. Just give me the cheese to the side, and I'll take it all home, and I'll make it at my leisure.
You show up with like a family of seven, and you order that, and then you just serve it out.
That sounds like my childhood. I remember when Hardee's used to do that for like Tuesday with quarter hamburgers, 35-cent cheeseburgers.
Oh, yeah.
We were so cheap, we brought our own cheese, though.
Oh,
but then
wow.
We would buy so many. And
you
can't just
buy cheese for 10 cents.
Back then, you could. And then we'd buy so many and just take them home, put them in the freezer, and have dinner for the rest of the week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Good times. That's funny.
Oh,
that's
man.
Funny. So what about you, Ryan? Are you excited for Star Wars at all?
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Good talk.
Not as excited as
I am keeping myself in the dark as much as I can on it.
Yeah.
Until it comes out, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I don't.
There's a lot
they're
of people.
They're not very good. They've been very hush on this movie.
They've been really good.
Like,
yeah.
I have no idea.
There's
really
a lot of people.
I don't even know what characters, who's villains and who's...
Well, that's good. That's
I know their names and what they look like, but I don't know anything
I'm
about
literally,
the story and stuff.
A lot of us are learning things based on these toys that finally came out.
Right.
And you know what I mean? Like, this is the first time... Some of these figures is the first time I've seen any of these characters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of
JJ's really good about that, the misdirection of his movies.
Yeah,
and
just the general mystery around it.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Again, everything I've seen is everything I would want to see out of this stuff. That is the one thing I kind of told you. I didn't really want to look too strongly at a lot of the toys because I didn't want to ruin a lot of stuff because that happened a little bit with some of the old episodes.
Right.
But I remember I didn't know going into the toy release that none of the original characters were going to have toys released yet.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the things I was most interested in. Is like, I want to see a picture of, you know, Obi-Wan or Luke Skywalker.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah, the Obi-Wan looking Luke, you know? And I want to see what the figures look like and stuff, and none of them were there, which I was like, eh, cool, still, whatever.
Yeah, a lot of people have kind of been, like, complaining about that, and I don't know if it's, like, really confirmed or official, but, like, the news kind of came out that Disney apparently is halting all merchandise for those three characters until after the movie hits.
Smart.
Yeah. Very smart.
Because those would just go off the shelves anyway, and then everything would be left.
Well, and there's no way to do that packaging without giving you something from what they're doing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, why not?
Yeah.
Just hold it off. It's not like you're not going to sell them come
Right, exactly.
The movie comes out before Christmas still. They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be out in Christmas time for sure.
I don't think Disney's hurting.
No. Oh, no, 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 not even kind of. 99 days.
I know.
You're 99 days away. That's crazy. From the day we're recording this. Sweet. All right, well, we'll go ahead and move on topics now. We'll move away from Star Wars. One of the things that Ryan really wanted to bring up that we can go ahead and talk about now is we recently had a loss in the movie world, kind of a big loss that hit a lot of people because a lot of us who grew up in the 80s and 90s specifically, this was a big deal. Wes Craven just passed away, and he was like a horror icon, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
This is the guy behind creations like Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy Krueger, you know, the Scream movies, Hills Have Eyes he did.
Yep.
There's tons of those movies.
Pretty much created a genre and then completely retroactively redesigned it, you know, a couple decades later and perfected it again.
A decade later, pretty much.
So
to the point.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost
most of his like Nightmare stuff was real early 80s.
It was 84.
Was 84?
It was 84.
It was 84. I think you're right.
And I think that's one of the things that's cool about him. It's almost like he maintained relevancy, like, in each of those decades, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you had the 80s was your Freddy Krueger, the 90s was your Scream, you know what I mean?
He like, owned pretty much, as far as, like, horror genre goes, he owned those two decades with those franchises.
I did a lot of reading when it happened, just, you know, the interesting stories that pop up and some of it, and I got caught on, and some of them were pretty old articles, but they were, like, some of the behind-the-scenes, like, making of Screams and some like that.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff was just sort of going over some of his library from the, you know, perspective of whoever happens to be writing the article. And I remember reading a guy who was talking about, because Scream, like, it was his baby, he directed them all, but a lot of the credit for Scream goes to Kevin Williamson also, the guy who wrote them, it was the Dawson's Creek guy. So a lot of that sort of meta aspects of it, like the self-realization that the movie within a movie type stuff.
Right.
A lot of it's credited to the script, and Wes Craven was the one who was able to bring it to the screen properly. But there was a couple of people I saw who were referencing A New Nightmare. That was the one,
that
the real
right
life
before.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That came
that
out
was
right
early.
Before.
It was 94. Two years earlier, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the, because, you know, Scream was ahead of its time, but in the positive way where it kind of broke those barriers, they were saying A New Nightmare was sort of ahead of its time in the people didn't catch up to it yet.
Right.
Because Nightmare was a lot of that meta stuff with his own creation, because that's the one where Freddy Krueger comes into the real world and is hunting down Wes Craven and the actual people from the movie, you know, and so they said that was sort of the precursor to Scream.
Yeah,
and how it
totally.
Was able to work so well because he had the practice of doing it with that, and then he was able to take it into this new creation and totally just run with it, you know. And that's one of those, you know, the Scream legacy is pretty amazing to me because that could have been a one-and-done slasher flick, no problem, or it could have been one of those that had tons of terrible direct-to-video sequels.
Right.
I mean, there could be 10 of those, like there are 10, you know, Freddy's or Saw's Nightmare on Elm or Friday the 13th is the one I was thinking of, you know, where, you know, a few of them are pretty good and they're all genre related, so you enjoy the whole set, but most of them are kind of garbage guys coming in and doing garbage stuff. But no, like, he did all of those movies, you know, 1 through 4, and I will not back 3 like I'll back the other ones.
Right.
But 1, 2, and 4, I'll back all day long.
Yeah.
Those movies are great. And again, even 4, you know, more than a decade later, they come back and do that. But it still had that same heart and feel to it, and it still had the scare aspect, but they brought it into a whole new generation again. So I won't say it was akin to when he first did Scream and redid a whole genre of his own, but he was able to go right back into that world and still produce quality, fun movies that really, you know, just immersed you in that stuff, and it was just something that never really let go. And now that's even got that MTV show out now.
Yeah.
Which I've seen an episode of.
I was going to ask if you guys had watched any of that.
I haven't seen it. I watched the first one, liked it quite a bit.
Yeah?
It was really, because that's one of those I was sketchy on. Now, I will say this, I kind of waited for the rest of, I think the season's done now. I kind of waited for, I think it was one of those where I was like, well, I'll wait a little while and then I'll binge watch it, so now I'm going to get to it soon.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that first one going, okay, so far, really impressed. Now, I also liked the first 45 minutes of Scream.
Yeah.
So the fact that they did it now, it's essentially the same first half of the movie in that first episode, but with new characters and a new situation, but very reminiscent of the old. Can they sustain that over 10 or 12 episodes or however long it is? That'll be the impressive part. And I'll look forward to finding that out soon.
Right,
but
right.
In every format I've seen that stuff in, what a great series.
Yeah, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if we've seen this every decade, something Scream-related.
Yeah.
Because it's just a great continuation copycat
mm-hmm.
slasher.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's always going to be a person. You always know that. Or
yep.
more than one person, which was very inventive. Like,
oh, yeah.
That blew yeah. everybody away. When there was two
yeah.
killers, never been done.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the thing. And, like, if you go back and rewatch that movie or just think about not just watching it again and going, oh, this is great, but you kind of know what's happening. Really think back to the first time you saw Scream.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, how, like, you were gripped by that.
Absolutely.
And it was scary, but it was a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have the supernatural element to it so much as you didn't think it was some kind of weird zombie thing, but you didn't know who it was. You're trying to figure out the whole time.
Right.
While it's freaking you out, who could possibly be doing this? And then, like you said, when they get that reveal at the end, and, you know, spoiler alert, it's two guys, you know, who are doing it. You're just like, you know, boom, mind blown. Like, that is so perfect how that goes. And the reasoning behind it was so, because we were 16 when that came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was about a bunch of 16-year-old kids. So it was, I mean, we didn't know any homicidal maniacs, I don't think. But it made so much sense to go, man, I know these archetypes. I go to school with these archetypes.
Yeah.
And I can totally see some of these guys being psychos.
Yeah, that's the
right.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some guys watch some horror movies and get really into it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, one little twist.
Yep.
I feel it did totally create, like, its own genre of thrillers, too, because
mm-hmm.
I feel like every scary movie that came out after Scream for a
there
while
were so, many.
Were so similar.
You had,
I know what you did last summer.
Yeah.
Was
Urban
like,
Legend.
Yeah,
yep.
Urban Legend, yeah.
And these are still some pretty good ones, too, but it went,
exactly,
went right,
like,
back to the teenage
I liked them
driven
all.
Horror
and,
movie.
The Faculty, and that one was a little more sci-fi based or whatever. Like,
that
was it
cool,
had
though.
Actual monsters,
well, yeah.
But it was cool, and it still had the same kind of feel, I felt like, to those,
yeah.
those movies. The Scream movies totally just... Yeah, they changed that genre
yep.
for that decade
yep.
completely.
Yep.
And
they
I saw every one
of the
they did. They
and
reinvented
it right
the slasher.
Into that. Yeah.
Yep. And I remember seeing every one of those movies every time they came out opening weekend, even all of those, you know, copycats, which are all good movies on their own right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was right there for them. I was way into that
and
stuff.
And totally launched a lot of people's careers.
Oh, for sure.
Cuz it brought back that whole see, Wes Craven has much more of a touch than we think cuz he launched Johnny Depp's career.
Yep.
Johnny Depp was in nothing.
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the first thing he was in.
Yeah.
He casted him in that scene, and then bam, his career took off.
Yep.
And then all those kids in the 90s on those Scream movies. I mean, some of them had stuff. Nev was on the Party of Five.
Yeah, a little
right?
stuff here and there.
We got
but
Shaggy.
Nothing, yeah.
But was.
Matthew Lillard?
Yeah. Matthew Lillard.
The great Skeet Ulrich.
Well, he thought he found Johnny Depp Part 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was going to launch that.
I like Skeet Ulrich.
But had Buffy come out by the second Scream?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Buffy started in 97.
Mm.
Yeah. So that would have been the
Which
same
the
time.
Same year,
so
yeah.
they would have filmed it actually before. So Sarah yeah. Michelle Gellar wasn't in Buffy yet.
I have to go back and check the dates for
okay.
sure. But I think
well,
I think Buffy had just started
okay.
when yeah.
But they hadn't filmed
But it's right.
Yet.
Yeah, I mean it was definitely bigger
time.
Than
Yeah.
A lot more people saw Scream 2 than saw Buffy in that first season or
right.
two, you know.
Yeah.
The Oliphant.
Yeah. yeah, and you who know, else?
What
did Scream 2
give us?
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
And Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wes.
Liev was in Scream 1.
No, I know,
yeah.
but Wes
Very brief.
Directed
but,
Scream
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just said, what did Scream 2 give us? We're
well,
splitting
it, it
hairs.
Put,
Let's
yes,
just be friends.
But it's so funny,
yeah.
too, because...
man, how much have I loved Liev Schreiber since day one?
It's true.
Since day one.
True. phenomenal. But that's what's great about Wes, too, is like he did those two franchises, which I'm sure at the time he had no idea was coming out.
Yeah.
But when they took that gamble on Nightmare on Elm Street, which apparently like every studio passed up on, and the New Line, which was nothing, took a chance on it and just hit gold, because I guess they shot that for maybe a mil or two, and then they made like 30, which built that company out of somewhere.
Yeah.
And then that company made your Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
So you can thank
and
Wes,
Ninja
Wes Craven.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
I always associate the New Line Cinema logo with turtles.
Yep. Oh, I did. Yes. Now that you say that, when it flies in.
One of those retrospective articles I was reading was talking about the making of Scream. It was an article on the Weinstein company, or Miramax.
Yeah, Miramax, yeah.
And they were talking about Bob Weinstein's involvement with that movie when they got Wes Craven to come in and do it. And the whole thing is just a crazy story. I won't go into the whole thing because it would take an hour to go through, but it was an amazing read. But basically, they got Drew Barrymore interested in that script, and she was supposed to play the Neve Campbell role. And she called them a little while later and was like, "Hey, I really got this idea. I kind of want to play this chick at the beginning, because I know I'm the name driving here, and I think it'll be really interesting if I get killed right away." And they sort of loved that idea, but then they had problems with Bob Weinstein, who the Weinsteins were very off. They're hard to work with, is the reputation that they have or had or whatever. And hard to work with in their own ways, but they had very direct ideas and stuff like that. So when they were filming that beginning scene, they filmed that scene with Drew. Like, they talked him into letting him do that, and they recast the role for Neve Campbell to take. They were filming that beginning scene, and they were sending some of the dailies and whatever back to the Weinsteins, and Bob wasn't liking anything he was seeing. He thought it was stupid. He thought it was too much. At the beginning, they didn't have the mask picked out yet. They kind of found that somewhere, and he hated the mask and basically was giving them all sorts of flack, but he was doing it through like his producers and the head of the side company they were in. And so these people are like flying in and telling Wes Craven this and that and how he can and can't do that. And then there's other people standing up going, "Guys, do you have any idea who you were yelling at right now? Like, this is Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Like, this guy knows the genre. You can't hire him and then micromanage him to do all this stuff." And so they finally basically came to the terms. They're like, "Look, here's what we're going to do. We've got most of that beginning scene shot. We're going to take time away from the shooting, and we're going to get it edited, and we're going to do it fast, and we're going to get you the first 15 minutes of the movie, or however it is, and we're going to send that to you." And one of two things is going to happen. You either like it, and you leave us alone, and you let us make the movie, or you hate it, and we'll walk away, and you can make this movie however you want to. You can come in and direct it yourself. We don't care at that point, you know? So he sent it away with the dumb mask and everything that Bob Weinstein hated, and they said they rolled it up. They put it through the film thing. Both him and Harvey were sitting there. They watched it. They came right back out. Bob called him immediately. He's like, I was wrong. I was so incredibly wrong. This is great. This is amazing. We love it. You guys just do it." And they didn't hear another word from him the rest of the whole Scream shoot. And by the time it came to Scream 2, he said, they didn't even have to send the dailies in. They just left him alone for the whole thing. Like, "You do it again, and we're happy."
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Yeah, it's definitely a sad loss, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, he really did have, you know, such an impact on all of us and everybody who, you know, grew up in the same eras as we did. So,
I mean, as creepy as his movies were, everybody said, "Nicest guy, best guy to work with." Everybody loved him.
That's always cool to hear, too.
Kevin Smith said some really nice things about
him. He did.
Him, you know?
He did. Yeah. Yeah. So, definitely a sad loss. And I know everybody's kind of feeling it, so... Rest in peace, Mr. Craven. Yep. You will be missed for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and do what we do best and make fun of DC and WB. We had some news that came out just today that is perfect to bring up on this show.
It's all rumor.
All rumor. What is our rumor, John?
And this is even less than the movies themselves that we're making fun of so much as just the studio.
Yeah,
but there was
for
that.
Sure.
Basically, the gist of what they were starting to say today is that the WB saw a rough cut of the movie.
Yeah.
Everybody loves it. They're head over heels for this Batman Superman thing. They think Ben Affleck is amazing. They love the Batman aspect of it. There's already been rumors for a week or two now that they've offered him three solo Batman movies that he's going to take.
Oh, my God, really?
You know, yeah, and they're saying now they want more Batman in Batman versus Superman, so they're already talking about doing reshoots now. to add more Ben Affleck to the movie. Which, on the one hand, I've said from the get-go, one of the most exciting things about this project to me, because I'm a huge Ben Affleck fan, is him doing Batman. I think he's going to be perfect for it. That is not me trying to troll the internet. Sorry, internet. I know you're not always a big fan of Ben Affleck, but I am. Love him. And I think he's great for this type of role. And I think it's going to be super fun. So on the one hand, cool. On the other hand, one of my biggest problems with Man of Steel was the lack of letting Henry Cavill be Superman. I think he'll be really good, and I think he'd be a really good Clark Kent. And I'm really looking forward to being able to see him explore that more, especially after seeing The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which we were just talking about that. How much did that show, and I don't think you saw it, Dan.
I haven't seen it.
A lot of people haven't seen it, but any of you who have, you know, take a little bit of the cockiness away from that character, and how cool of a Clark Kent could he pull off? And so if they're going to pretty much take him mostly out of his movie, and if they're going to cut anything, what are they going to start doing? They're going to start cutting the Clark stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So that kind of bums me out. I don't want to see that. Plus, it's just the general... It's almost a cartoon image in my head of these studio fat cats just sitting there with cigars going, ah, ha, ha, this is what we love, ah, ha. You know, it's like the Vince McMahon thing. It's like a room full of Vince McMahons going, oh, we love this thing, let's do this thing, ah, ha, ha, ha.
You know what we need? More Batman.
Yeah,
why?
So that's what,
screw you.
What are you telling me? Only WB would get together with a group of executives, sit in a room and go, we love this, it's amazing, now change it. What is that? You know?
Yeah, I know, right? That's like when you sent that article to me today, that's all I could think of was, oh, yay, a new Superman movie with more Batman than Superman. Yeah. That sounds like classic WB.
And right. I said, that's what I said when I was emailing you guys about it. If they had come out and said, okay, we're going to make a Batman movie, Superman's going to be in it, but it's mostly going to be Batman, that's fine. I don't mind. That's great. Make the movie. That sounds fun. I like Ben Affleck. You'll be a good Batman. Even if you're going to do with the half and half, but you're like, we got to introduce Batman a little bit more, that's fine. That's okay. Make a plan and stick with your plan.
Yeah.
Because your plan was a new Superman movie, and then you decided to add Batman into it. And then Batman became like half of it. And now it's going to become mostly Batman. This is four different movies we're talking about that's going to end up in the span of 2 years. We've changed from all of this to almost all of that. And we've graduated through phases. And now we're to the point where most of the thing, I think it's all shot. I mean, they wrapped filming a while back. And they're into the editing phase. And now they still want to keep changing it, despite the fact that reportedly everyone loves it.
Yeah.
And I just don't get that.
It's so weird. Well, and allegedly, this could very be nothing
but
rumors. We don't know if this is true or not. But yeah, this just goes right back to what you always said, too, about how it feels like WB doesn't know how to do anything except make a Batman movie, because Batman movies always made them money. So they were afraid to get away from that.
Yeah.
So that's why Man of Steel felt so Batman-y, is because they didn't know how to do happy, you know, bright, colorful Superman. Yep. Instead, they made a Batman movie with Superman. Now they've got Batman in their Superman movie, so they're like, you know what this movie needs? More of him.
Yeah.
More of the Batman. Put more Batman in it. It just feels like that typical WB mentality again.
But it's very interesting, too, because there are two TV shows right now, The Flash and The Arrow.
Yeah. This is what everybody
Very successful,
saying.
But the thing is, they're so opposite, but the same. Mm-hmm. Arrow, the thing was they went the Batman route with Arrow, which you can, because it's literally
and it
the same story.
Great.
And it works perfectly.
Yeah.
But with The Flash, it's so bright, it's colorful, it's fun. It's like, this is the way they need to go the route with Superman. And they collide, Flash and Arrow, a lot.
Yeah.
So you have the fun, happy kid meeting up with the middle-aged, bitter revenge guy.
Yeah.
But they make it work so well.
Yeah.
And they do that whole thing on the show, especially of being like, because the Flash is always like, you know, I got to do some stuff that Oliver does sometimes. And then he's got his guy saying, no, you're not that hero. You be this hero. And then he realizes that. He's like, just do that with Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's the thing, because that's all, like, they're not really, it doesn't feel like they're making a DC universe full of movies. It feels like they're making a Batman universe full of DC characters.
Yes.
You know, like, these are all going to end up being, because again, Man of Steel was a Batman movie. Didn't have Batman in it, but it was a Batman movie.
It felt very Batman-y.
Had Superman in it. And now what they're going to do is go, okay, now we got a great new Batman, so let's just make a ton more Batman and have all these other characters meet Batman. So it's like one of those kind of meet, like those, like the Batman, what was that? There was a cartoon out for a while that was just Batman teaming up with other people. What was that called?
The Brave and Bold?
Yeah, was that
it?
Was
it Brave and the Bold?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a great cartoon.
Yeah, and it was good, but again, it's not like, like you said, why can't they make a Superman movie and a Batman movie and a Wonder Woman movie and then have a reason for them all to come together? Now, yeah. It works a little bit easier on the Marvel because they've got that same tonal universe throughout. I mean, yeah. Like, the backgrounds are very different, but tonally they can all be very similar. Yeah. The tones are different for a Superman and a Batman and some of these other characters, so it doesn't work exactly the same as it does over there. But, I mean, if they're doing it on TV, like you just said, why can't they do it in the movies? Make the characters themselves and then bring the worlds together rather than just designing this world around one guy and bringing everybody else into it.
Yeah. Tell you what, everything we've seen so far from the new Supergirl show looks like it's going to be the complete opposite of what Man of Steel was.
Cause yeah,
it looks
cool.
Like it's going to be bright and colorful and happy. Do you see that new picture that got released recently of her walking, holding a kitten with all these happy little kids like around her, like she saved a kitten? Yeah, that looks amazing.
That's awesome.
That looks like you looked at that picture and you were like, they do know joy.
Yeah.
Why can't we see this well, in the movie? You know what I mean?
Well, Greg Berlanti knows joy.
There you go.
Okay. Bear in mind, it's a different studio, but the guy producing that show is the Arrow and Flash guy.
Okay. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Those guys are smart. They actually were the writers on the Academy Awards show. Smartest
really?
Guys. Yep. Funniest
Man,
guys,
see?
Too.
I would love it
Great.
If they could get those guys
I know,
involved
I tried to talk to them about it.
You know, the funniest thing is the closer we get to March and the more stuff that comes out, I legitimately am excited about Batman vs. Superman.
I am too.
I really am.
Yeah.
It's just they make it so hard to think positively about it.
They do.
They just change everything.
Well, it's
all
not,
the time.
And it's, you know what? It's not just us. I mean, every time a new piece of news like this comes out, you see everybody on the internet going, what? You know,
Yeah.
It's funny.
It is
and,
funny.
And, you know, at the end of the day, the mass market is what matters. I mean, we're guys on the internet,
yeah.
And everybody else, the guys on the internet, say what you want. If people are happy, they'll go see it,
That's
and it'll make money.
If this thing makes $1 billion, then
nobody's
going to
care, and we'll all be eating crow.
If it's a writer.
Whatever.
Right.
But
it's funny. Good thing it's not called Superman vs. Batman, because they'd probably want to change the title and flip it around. Put Batman
oh, they jumped on that one right away.
Yeah.
No, it's Batman versus Superman. They said that immediately.
Yeah.
Superman.
Oh, man.
Goodness.
I just hope people at the box office won't sell you a ticket unless you ask specifically for Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, please.
The whole title.
Yeah.
The whole title. I hope it's awesome.
I'd like to see that Batman movie. I'm sorry, what? We don't have anything called that Batman
that
movie.
That Batman movie. Well, right along the lines of that, this was actually a topic that was sent in from several people who wanted to kind of make us aware. And there's not a lot of news on this yet. But there is the possibility of a new Justice League animated series on the way, which is pretty cool. You watched the original Justice League cartoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, quite a bit of it.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was great.
It. Yeah.
It's kind of one of those, I mean, you know, it came out in that rapid fire succession of like Batman, the animated series kind of started those awesome superhero cartoons. And then we got the Superman animated series. And then this Justice League cartoon came out.
Mm-hmm.
DC, that's one thing they've always done very well. I feel like is their animation. They've always been awesome at their animated properties.
I will point out too, while we're on the subject, and that's the exact same thing right there, right, with the cartoons back in the 90s. That Batman cartoon is one of the finest iterations of Batman ever put on film.
Still.
Amazing
Still
show.
To this
all
day.
The way through. And kid-friendly, but not really kid-themed.
No,
I mean, I watched it as a kid, and it was fine. I would let my kids watch it now, but it's totally just a straightforward Batman show.
Yeah.
And then the same, you know, animation group, I don't know how many of the creators are the same or whatever, but that's that same genre comes out with the Superman cartoon that, honestly, I mean, I like Superman way more than Batman, but the cartoon wasn't as good.
Right.
But it was a Superman cartoon. Full on. It was bright. It was flashy. It was colorful. It was save the day.
The animation looked the same, but they totally had a different palette.
Yeah, totally different
show.
Tone. Totally different color scheme. Everything.
Yeah.
And they made crossovers. They made movies together.
Yeah.
They branched off into this Justice League show that had both of them, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
They built their separate worlds, their separate universes. They had their own places where they lived and did their thing, and then they came together, and everyone was still happy. You didn't have to shoehorn people who don't belong into stories they didn't fit into, you know?
Right. Well, we might have something to look forward to then if we were fans of that cartoon series, because there was a photo that was taken at the Warner Brothers Burbank offices that popped up online that basically it just shows a bunch of framed posters on the wall of cartoons that are either airing on Cartoon Network or, I guess, in the works. Like, the new Scooby-Doo poster jumps out at me right away. We already know there's a new Scooby-Doo cartoon coming out.
I actually didn't know until I saw this picture, yeah. So that's awesome.
But the one of the posters on the wall is a brand new JLA poster. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as the previous cartoon because the logo is slightly different. But it's got, like, silhouettes on it. It's like a blue poster that says JLA, and it's got a bunch of silhouettes of all of the characters on it. So there's all this speculation that maybe this means they're working on a new animated series, which wouldn't at all be surprising considering everything they're doing.
Yeah, I would say it's almost a given. It's just a matter of when. I mean, how many Avengers cartoons have there been since?
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And then there's been Spider-Man cartoons nonstop since 2002.
They specifically stopped an Avengers cartoon for the success of the movie and started one after it.
Yeah, they did.
Just to go on with the movie.
Yep.
Just to make it flow.
Which
kind of
sucked because that one was really good.
The first one was way better.
I was upset that it ended.
I was too.
Yeah,
that was a great one.
Yeah. So that might be something to look forward to. I know that, like, and I've talked about this many times on here, I was a big fan of Young Justice, which was kind of like the most recent iteration, kind of. That one was very it was like the
kiddie sort of, wasn't it?
Well, it was like the Teen Titans, basically. It was the younger guys, but it was still very serious and very dark.
But there was a very cartoony one that followed that, right?
Teen Titans Go followed that. Yeah. But Young Justice was just amazing. It was so well written, and it was very much in the vein of the old Batman series, I felt like, where it was kid-friendly, but had, you know, very adult-like, you know, writing and everything on, and the stories were very good, and that show got canceled because that's what Cartoon Network does. Anytime there's a great show, they're like, we're done with it. So, I don't know.
Fox for cartoons?
Yes, for sure. For sure. So, I don't know. This will be something to look forward to, I think. I'm hoping that we can get
always,
a really awesome...
Yeah, always looking forward to the animated stuff, because they do so well with some of that.
All right, speaking of animated stuff, here's a crazy one. Another topic that was sent in to us by a couple different people, popped up on the internet this past week. Apparently, Paramount is developing a live-action animation hybrid based on Nickelodeon's cartoons, specifically known as the Nicktoons. The article goes on to say that the movie plans to capitalize on the collective desire to return all of these cherished properties. It says that they are developing a massive live-action animated crossover film featuring characters from hit 90s Nick cartoons, including Rugrats, The Angry Beavers, Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy, and more, all coming together in what's being pitched as a Justice League or Avengers-esque team-up film called Nicktoons.
Doug better be up in there.
Right? Except, Doug. Oh, you know what? They got a picture of him on here, but I guess that doesn't really mean anything. They might have just made it for this article. Doug got bought by Disney, if you remember.
Oh, I forgot.
So I don't know if Disney still is holding on to that or not.
Yeah, I forgot.
Because
when did that happen?
Because it was there was like one or two seasons on Nickelodeon, and then Disney bought Doug, and they moved it to ABC on their Saturday morning lineup.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
And it wasn't as good.
No, it was not.
So I don't know if Doug is going to count or not.
Probably not.
Doug was the best.
That stinks. Yeah, I loved Doug.
Doug was the best.
What was the original? Was it? It was Doug.
Doug
Ren and Stimpy.
Doug
Rugrats.
And Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy. Yeah.
Was it just three?
Those three were the originals.
Yeah, I thought there was four for some reason.
And then there was All Real Monsters. That's pictured on here, too. I remember Rocko. I remember Hey Arnold, Angry Beavers. It was kind of later 90s.
Well, and it's funny looking at that lineup, because you can kind of see where I fell out of practice of watching this stuff, because those original ones I watched all of nonstop, but like when you get into the Hey Arnolds, never saw. Like a little tidbits here and there. I don't even know what Angry Beavers is.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, because like what, Doug and Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy were early 90s, right?
Yes.
And I want to, Angry Beavers and Hey Arnold would have been late 90s. I think I was in high school when those were on TV.
That's why then.
So I was also not really watching them as much.
Yeah.
Rocko's Modern Life was in the middle there somewhere, because I definitely watched some of that.
A little bit after Ren and Stimpy and them, but I saw a bunch of that.
Yeah. I don't know. This is crazy. I mean, it's a really interesting idea.
The thing that's throwing me the most is the live-action animation hybrid. I mean, I know what that means. I just can't picture it with this cast of characters.
Well, here's what it says. The next sentence says, citing the Lego Movie, Space Jam, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and Wreck-It Ralph as influence, Nicktoons is poised to follow a similar model, employing a hefty amount of self-referential humor.
OK, Okay, but
those
all do live action animation hybrids totally differently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is going to be weird. I don't know. I'm excited to see what this turns into because I do like a lot of these.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a cool project. I just can't picture what they mean.
And this kind of totally falls into our topic we were talking about just on the last episode about 80s and 90s nostalgia. Right.
Yeah.
This is a 90s nostalgia thing coming right here.
Yep.
Right? We were just talking about that.
Yeah, we were talking about with that question. That's the exact thing we were saying. Like, we're hitting that point. And I think it was one of the listeners who brought it up, you know, we're hitting that point where we're going to start moving into these new, because we've got the G.I. Joes and the Transformers and the Turtles and, you know, all the Ghostbusters now coming back, all the 80s stuff.
Yeah.
Now, when are we moving into the 90s with the Dragon Balls and all this stuff? And maybe they'll make a movie of the animated series of Batman. That would be pretty cool.
That's how they do it. 90s nostalgia Batman is the animated series. Hey, do it, man. Yeah. Kevin Conroy and everything.
Yep. Yeah. That's what he should hire Kevin Conroy as, like, a voice coach.
Oh, man.
Just sound like me.
Yeah.
Well, if they could just do that,
yep.
Modulator it with just his voice and not Ben's.
Hey, I'm going to toss this question in here really quick because it goes right along with what we're talking about. Christopher Sean writes in and says, do you consider people born in the late 80s 80s kids or 90s kids?
Probably. I mean, it's whenever you came to...
When you remember stuff.
Yeah, when you start remembering the stuff you watch. So if you were born in the late 80s, you probably didn't get a whole lot out of your first couple of years. You're more than likely a 90s kid.
Yeah, like, I'm going to use my sister for reference. Toy throwing her on here. She was born in 89. She's a 90s kid.
Yeah, I was born in 79. 80s kid.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I mean, you know, she doesn't remember anything about the 80s other than what I was already running around, you know, playing with and spouting out, you know.
Yeah.
She grew up around me as a kid, so she knew more about Ninja Turtles and He-Man. Well, I guess Ninja Turtles really bled over into the 90s, but, you know, she knew about all that other stuff because of me. Otherwise, I mean, Nicktoons and stuff like that, that's her childhood.
Yeah.
For sure. Barney the Dinosaur, you know, that's what she grew up with because that was what was big in the 90s at the time, you know.
Wore that costume once.
You wore a Barney costume?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh.
$50 for that. Yeah. I was a teenager.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Somebody, I don't even remember the circumstances. One of my sisters was running some party for some kids for something. Like, we need somebody in the suit. Okay. Whatever.
Good story. And you got $50.
Yeah. Dynamite drop.
Which, I'm telling you, as when you're 14 in 1994, $50 is a lot of money. That's like two video games.
Yeah, right?
That's how we measure it. That's how we measure cash.
When you're 14, it is.
All right. Well, I got a great question for you guys. Are you ready for this?
Nope.
Bring it.
This is the part where we got thrown a little under the bus here.
Oh.
You ready for this?
Who's we?
Okay.
I didn't do anything.
Me and John. Me and Jonathan.
I wasn't here for this.
So
you told us to say all that stuff.
No, I didn't. You told us to say. Shh. Sign papers.
So listener Jeremy Soronin, he writes in and says he started listening to the Geek Easy podcast and he loves it. He went back and started listening to all the old episodes because of how much he likes it. But
thanks.
He says he has a question regarding the TMNT episode. He says, in the episode where you guys discussed the TMNT movie, you mentioned
Before
it came out, you mentioned that fans shouldn't judge the movie before seeing it. You were urging people not to judge it. However, in the exact same episode, you guys turned around and started judging Worst-Tastic Four long before it was released. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to judge you guys, but I'm wondering if you can tell me the difference between the two scenarios, because it sounds a little like you're doing the do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say, too, it wasn't, I mean, just a couple of episodes here when we were talking about Worst-Tastic Four coming out, we were urging people, hey, don't go spend money on this thing.
Yes,
it's
going
to give the studio wrong idea.
We were.
And so we are sort of caught with our feet in our mouths just a little bit here.
You got us.
I will throw out some defense, though. Like, yes, we're human. We mess up sometimes. So these are definitely conflicting ideas. I will say, when you boil down to the specifics of these two movies, though, we had nothing to go on with TMNT. We had weird rumors, very little footage. They were so bizarrely secretive about releasing pictures, trailers, anything with that movie.
Right.
All we had was inclinations from script notes and ideas from a year and a half beforehand. So our point then was mostly, we don't know what we're going to get, so let's not just assume that it's going to be crazy alien stuff like everybody was afraid of.
Right.
Fantastic Four, on the other hand, we had... Now, there was a lot of bad signs with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. There was a lot of weird things where we went, that doesn't sound like it's right, but yeah. Let's hold off and hope. Fantastic Four, we had no good inclinations coming out of the studio. We had no good inclinations coming out of the trailers. We had no good inclinations coming out of the stories about how it was made, how it was rewritten, how they were doing late reshoots. Everything we saw and heard pointed towards a bad production.
Yeah.
And everything trailer-wise and storyline-wise that we heard about pointed towards a movie that no one wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, if you look at it at the surface, yes, it was, you know, us saying one thing for this movie and another thing for this movie. But there was a lot more... There's a lot more to the, you know, the moving parts of what we knew about each one going into it also. And I'll point out, in my opinion, we were right about both of them. So I think that helps our case a little bit, too.
I feel like,
yeah.
I know there's still a lot of people who don't really like Turtles, but I did.
Yeah,
I liked Turtles.
I
didn't think it was the greatest Turtles movie in the world, but I was totally fine with it. And I'm very much looking forward to the sequel. I think the sequel's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
And I just watched it again on Netflix.
Yeah.
And honestly, I liked it a lot. Like, I liked it quite a bit when I first saw it, but I went into it with a lot of hesitation.
Yeah.
Going into it this time fresh and knowing that I already liked it, I liked it a lot more because I was just able to sit back and enjoy those Turtles, and those Turtles were great.
Yeah, the
and
characters...
That's all you need.
Well, and that's a great point between that and Fantastic Four also. We talked about very heavily in Turtles that the thing that was going to make or break that movie is if they got the characters right. If the personalities were there of the four Turtles, then that was going to be the most important
part. Most of
part.
The side characters aren't quite as important. If
the
four Turtles are there, then they're there.
If the personalities correct in the Turtles, that would be right. Did we see the correct personalities in Fantastic Four?
Oh, no.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But you're right. And I mean, I'm right along with John. I mean, you did catch us up a little bit. We're not saying that we're perfect by any means. But I will also go ahead and point out that we constantly on this show, even when we're making fun of things, we always say, we really hope this turns out to be good. And we will be happy to come here and eat our words if it's good. So you never have to.
In some cases.
Yeah. Yeah. You never have to, except Ryan won't. Ryan,
curse you both. Took money out of my pocket.
Took money out of your pocket.
What did I do?
If there's not a sequel because of you two, I'm going to be very upset. I'm the only one who's actually begging for a sequel.
Yeah. And for a totally different, reason than all the rest of us. No, none of the rest of us want a sequel to that movie.
We can make it better.
Oh, well, I hope. I would be okay if it was better, but at this point, I'm just kind of like, don't bother.
It doesn't have to be my ideal version of something. It's just got to be good.
Well, we even talked about in that review how it kind of started out okay.
Yeah.
Like, it was all right in the beginning.
It was in my notes. First half wasn't bad.
It just took a cliff dive, man. Anyway.
We've
talked about that enough.
Yep.
But there you go. I hope that was a good answer for
you. Have you guys talked about Fantastic Four enough?
I think we have.
I'm pretty sure every episode since I've left there's been at least one thing about Fantastic Four.
If we're not making fun of Worst Fantastic Four, we're making fun of Man of Steel,
pretty much.
Right?
I mean, that's every movie I work on, they bash people.
That's what we do here. We wait to see what movie Ryan's working on, and then we make a point to make fun of it so nobody goes to see it. We're sorry, Ryan. Next time you tell us what movie you're going to be on, we'll just come on here and talk about how great it's going to be.
Yeah, okay.
Just for you.
Sure.
All right, let's get into some questions we got here. We've got a few of them. First of all, I put this snazzy picture up of the three of us. Yeah,
sure.
From the other night, we were enjoying some beverages in our geeky glasses,
of
us. And I thought it was really funny because I put that up asking for questions. And two of the questions are, what are you drinking? And
that's all they care about.
And
they don't care about any
you guys
opinions.
Drinking pancake batter? What were we drinking, Ryan?
They were orange whips.
Orange whips.
Three orange whips. No? Nobody? Let's see if anybody gets that reference.
We're just going to leave it at that?
We're going to leave it at that.
They were delicious.
There you go. Comment.
Did you just go, nobody? Like, did you expect the internet to
answer? They all answered, like, in unison.
It's going to be on YouTube, right?
Well, no, but, like, you can't hear them now.
No, I said leave it in the comments
section. There you go.
Down below. See my finger? It's pointing down below. Here, the comments.
3-inch whips.
3-inch whips.
Here's where you click to subscribe. Danny, put something here.
Okay, great. Now I have editing to do.
When do I get paid?
You don't get paid for this one.
What?
Maybe if we get a sequel.
Hey. The Geekeasy 2.
Don't bash the Geekeasy then.
The search for more money.
Get that reference too.
Yeah.
Comment below.
There you go. All right. Dexter Morrill. Hey, Dexter, what's going on? He works on RetroWare TV.
Cool.
I post videos.
Yep.
So
far out.
He says, hey, dudes, first of all, I was glad to finally hear the Geekeasy's verdict on hashtag Worstastic 4. As always, you guys shared your views without just being angry, and I really appreciate that. Now, as far as my question to you, your conversation at the end of the last podcast got into the potential for good quality video game franchise movies, which reminded me of the tease for a Legend of Zelda Netflix series just a few months ago. What did you guys think of that news? There was a lot of unnecessary outrage on the internet over the mere thought of the project. As far as I know, the idea has since been squashed, but I can't help but think we might have missed out on something very cool. I understand that it would be a hard franchise to please everyone, but with such a strong negative response from people, it may be another 25 years before someone makes the suggestion again. Thanks, guys, and keep up the amazing work. So, if you're not familiar, and I don't think you knew, we talked about this
before. No, this is the first I'd heard
about it. There was a brief blurb of news that came out just a month or two. It was probably 2 or 3 months ago now, where they said that Netflix was working with Nintendo on developing a live-action Legend of Zelda series that would be exclusive to the streaming service. And I thought that was very cool because I am a huge Legend of Zelda game fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that franchise in general, always have been, dating all the way back to the Nintendo, and it's one of those properties that I personally have always wanted to see get the movie treatment, because I thought that that could make a great fantasy adventure film in the, you know, kind of like a more family-friendly Lord of the Rings-ish type movie. I think
it could totally
work that way. So when I saw that they were developing a Netflix series, I got interested. But it was one of those things where you didn't know really how much stock to put in that type of news, because it wasn't like major confirmation that this was something that was going on. It was kind of one of those stories that's like, Netflix might be doing this. And so it was one of those things where I was like, well, that's cool. Let's see what happens to it. And I don't think we've heard anything on it since then.
Yeah.
And like Dexter points out, for some reason, there was a huge uproar about it. Like, people online just immediately were groaning, thinking that that was a terrible idea. And I didn't understand that. I don't know. Yeah,
what's the internet good for, John?
Complaining.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of complaining. shooting down ideas. Just general malarkey.
Pretty
That's
much.
What the internet does.
Pretty much.
It makes me feel like, and again, I'm hearing most of this right now for the first time, it makes me feel like there's a part of the story I'm missing somewhere, because I don't know what people would be upset about, just the general thought of the show, why that in and of itself is a bad idea. Because most people who love things don't immediately go, you're revisiting a property? I don't want that.
Yeah.
They want to know more about it, and then they'll get upset about certain aspects, not just about the product existing in the first place. I almost forgot what a big Zelda fan you were. Like, not forgot, really.
Yeah.
It's just sort of, like, you used to just be the Zelda nerd.
Yeah.
And now you're so many things the nerd.
I am yeah. so many things
You got Zelda cufflinks at my wedding.
I did, yes,
yeah.
yes.
Oh,
yeah. John, yeah, when I was a groomsman at John's wedding, and he got me custom Triforce cufflinks that I wore on my suit at
yep.
the wedding.
You got 007.
I did get 007. Yeah. I wore them that night, too.
Nice.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Absolutely. But, yeah, like I said, that by itself seems like a
You're
super
good friend.
Fun idea.
You are a good friend.
That was my point for bringing it up. Now
everyone
the
whole
knows.
Now the whole internet knows.
Yes. Yeah. Post my number on here. I'll be all your friends. Anyways, the idea in and of itself sounds really fun to me. Now, I read a lot of news about this stuff. I don't know how this blew under my radar and how it came and went so quickly.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't mention it to you.
Yeah.
Like, when did this come out?
I don't know how I missed it.
It was probably... let me see if I can find something real quick, just to see.
Yeah. And I will say one thing, though. Like, as far as the negative backlash goes, I know one thing about products or projects, especially at this stage of it. The internet is not a make or break for the development of something like that. I mean, the internet can certainly have influence, but us who frequent the net a lot and come here to talk movies and nerd stuff and complain about things, we tend to think that the internet is a lot bigger than it is. Yeah, like, all of these movies, you know, like the Transformers movies, there's 3% of the internet that doesn't complain about them. I'm part of that 3%, you know? I haven't seen the fourth one still. Not the point. Point is, everybody on the internet hates these things, and they still make $1 trillion every time one comes out. Like, remember that. The internet is not the mass market that people are going for. When they're putting projects like this stuff together, they want viewership, and they don't care if it's viewership who goes online and praises them or viewership who goes online and hates them. If you're sending them $8 to do it, they're happy about it, you know, for the most part. Now, not to say most of the creative guys, they want their stuff to be good as well. All I'm saying that to mean is they didn't come out and go, Netflix wants to make Zelda, and enough people on the internet went, no, and they scratched that idea.
Oh, never mind then. Yeah. No, so that doesn't happen.
If that idea got scratched, it was going to get scratched anyway.
We tried to make it happen. And
yes. And if it didn't get scratched, then it's still festering somewhere, and it could pop back up.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, if it's in the right hands, and Netflix does most things pretty well, I think it could be super cool. I don't know why it would be.
Wondering when this news came out.
March.
This year?
March.
It was March this year, but it was shot down by Nintendo, so that's what happened.
Okay. I think the bigger chance is that it was just some weird rumor.
Yeah, it was probably just some rumor, because the president of Nintendo at the time, who actually just passed away not too long ago too, which is sad, but he came out and said that same month, as of now, I have nothing new to share with you in regard to the use of our IPs for any TV shows or films, but I can at least confirm that that article in question is not based on correct information. That was his quote. So he shot down the rumors of the Zelda Netflix show. I guess it was one of those things that briefly came out and then disappeared real quick, and maybe that's why it just kind of never really hit our radars. Yeah.
And again, it could be based on something factual, and who knows what we'll see in the future, because he doesn't say this is completely false. He just said it's not based on true information. Yeah. But that could mean a billion things.
Yep.
So.
Yep. But I think it would have been great. Like I said, you know, I thought that would be a lot of fun.
It still could be.
I guess the only thing I could maybe see people having a hard time with seeing it turned into a show is just because all the Zelda games are kind of very different. You know what I mean? Like, every time they come out with a new Zelda game, the format itself is similar, but they do kind of change it up a little bit, to the point where they've now basically come out and said that it's not the same Link in every game. It's sort of like a descendant type scenario, and that's why, like, the styles are different in some of them. And Link has always been a character also who never talks. He doesn't talk in any of the games, because Miyamoto's intended thing with that, and for naming him Link, was that he was supposed to be you, and Link was your link into that world, and that's why the character never talked. People just talked at you. So maybe people had a hard time with the idea of giving him a personality?
Maybe, except, but I mean, there's but been they did all that the in old that, cartoons
they did that in
stuff.
The cartoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were well received.
I liked that cartoon. I think it's fun. It is a little campy and goofy, but I like
it. That's the age and the era it was.
That's the only thing I can think of people having any kind of legitimate complaints with it, but I still think that's silly. I would love to see Legend of Zelda get some sort of treatment in film or TV. But unfortunately, we just don't really see Nintendo do that with any of their properties now. Yeah. It just doesn't really happen. So, I don't know. I'm all for it, though. That's all I know.
I mean, they're under new leadership now, so you never know.
Never know,
happen.
I guess. Yeah. Never know.
So, that's another guy, unfortunate passing we had earlier
this year. Yeah.
Didn't that weird side note? Didn't that guy own the Mariners?
Did he?
I think so.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
He also, I mean, he had a hand in a lot of the games that we knew growing up.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
him and Miyamoto were like the two guys who basically invented Nintendo. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
very sad
put Nintendo on the map. And
what if they just kind of, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out here. Do they have enough characters? I don't know, I'm not a big video game guy, but do they have enough characters throughout their history that they could literally do their own production company?
Like Marvel?
Like
Marvel
thing? Oh, absolutely. Like I mean, look at, have you ever
I
seen
mean, they'll the, latch on to other larger studios.
I was just starting to think that right before you said that, like, we had that, like, that Nicktoons thing. Like, what if they just did that with Nintendo?
Well, like, the Super Smash Brothers games are that.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
They have the fighting games where they have all of their iconic characters from all their video games come together in one game for, like, a fighting game.
Like Mario fighting, Metroid fighting.
Yeah, it's, Metroid characters, Kid Icarus characters, F-Zero characters. I mean, all these characters from all these games.
Star Fox.
They could totally do movies like that. That'd be great. I'd be all for it. Yeah. Nintendo movies, do it. I'm in.
Start writing them, Dan.
All right. I'll get to it.
It's on the list.
It's on the list. All right, last question for the day, but it's a doozy. It's another great question from Jack P. Starrow, who writes in very often with very thought-out questions and sometimes gets into my brain. But here we go.
Essay long question.
Yeah, this is a good one, though. It's another great topic of discussion, which is why this is probably what we're going to end our show with. He says, with remakes and reboots of nostalgic movies and existing franchises being the order of the day with risk-averse studios hungry for predictable revenue, do you, as fans, think it is better for new versions of nostalgic properties to be faithful remakes or radical reinterpretations?
That's a run-on sentence.
It says, well,
we're not the grammar police.
He says, even aside from some of the racist or misogynistic douchebags out there, a lot of people do seem to get cranky about the all-female Ghostbusters or the rumored remake of Dirty Harry with Will Smith just because they are not being faithful to the originals, preferring the idea of things like Indiana Jones being remade with Chris Pratt as the lead character. He says, I don't mean to focus on the issue of representational diversity specifically, but as fans, do you think it's better to slavishly remake something and risk the inevitable reaction that it can't compare to people's nostalgic reverence for the originals, or is it better to take a more creative approach in reinventing a property to some significant degree that makes direct one-to-one comparison harder, but risk alienating the hardcore fans? So basically what he's saying, in a nutshell here, if we're going to reboot a movie, a popular franchise, mm-hmm. do we think it's better to reboot the franchise but make it very different from the original one in hopes that making it that different will turn out to make it awesome? Or do we prefer it to be very similar to the original so that it's just like the original but with a new cast of characters?
The examples he gives there, the first one with the female Ghostbusters, we've all been okay with them doing that.
I think our
we're
biggest...
just not happy with them scrapping and acting like the old ones didn't matter.
Exactly.
That was the problem.
I think these movies could be so much more if they were continuations. Yeah.
I have strong hesitation about that movie, but it's got nothing to do with the girls.
No.
Yeah. No. Well, we've talked about it here several times, too, how it's just the reboot is just totally misused these days, too, in Hollywood. And they just always think that's the answer. Let's reboot it. You don't always have to reboot it. And Ghostbusters is that perfect example, which we've brought up multiple times.
You could do anything with Ghostbusters literally. And not have
anything,
to reboot it. And anything. Everybody was accepted.
I think the idea of an all-female Ghostbusters is fantastic. I don't think the idea of the all-female Ghostbusters being the only Ghostbusters in existence is fantastic.
Yeah.
They should have come after the previous Ghostbusters.
Absolutely.
There's no reason to erase what we've already seen.
It's been long enough.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't matter.
And it would have been a perfect vehicle to get, because now they've got most of the old guys doing cameos.
Yeah.
And that makes it worse to me.
Yes, it does.
Because I don't want to see Bill Murray show up as just some random character in that movie. And I know that's what, he's in it. He was on set. They mentioned something about who he was, what side character he was playing.
And he's pretty much doing it to show his support for
exactly.
it.
Exactly, which cool on that level, but I don't want to see it at that point.
No,
you know?
That's the thing. You're just teasing me and being like, hey, this is what could have happened.
Yep. If they had the Chicago franchise of Ghostbusters and they were all chicks, and at some point Peter Venkman and Ray Stantz show up to give them advice on something,
exactly.
and there's a funny scene and then they go away, that's awesome. I think that would be amazing, but... Let's bring the old guys back in just to remind people that this movie we're hoping they forget about exists doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm the same. And, you know, I'm going to see it, obviously.
I hope it'll be really good.
I hope it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I mean, we've talked about it before. We like the choices and the actresses and everything. I think they made a mistake going the direction
exactly.
that they
exactly.
did.
I think it'll be a good movie, but I don't like the way that they did it. But that's not really like the question he's asking.
Yeah. It's a tough one though. It
really depends on the franchise.
It really
and not even the franchise so much as the property or the project itself. Look at something like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
You know, they rebooted that. You couldn't just go back. Well, you could and it might have been interesting, but it would have been weird to just go back and make a movie about, you know, 20-year-old police officers infiltrating a high school and make it serious and very melodramatic like the show. So what did they do? They took that, and somebody had a weird idea and turned it on its head and put it into motion, and it turned out to be hilarious.
Which looks like they're trying to do with the new Baywatch movie coming out.
That's totally what they're referencing, which on the one hand, awesome. On the other hand, scary, because that's like lightning in a bottle. When you go chasing after it, it doesn't always work as well. But then you put the Rock and Zac Efron in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not something, like the studio couldn't have come out and said, you know what, we want 21 Jump Street, but we don't want it to be anything like 21 Jump Street. You couldn't just make that by making that. That had to be very organically grown in Jonah Hill's mind and pushed through out of some weird passion project.
Yeah.
There's no way that exists without those specific circumstances, and it turned out really well. And then you got things like years back they did that Miami Vice remake, which was made by Michael Mann, like the same guy who made the show, came back and made the movie, and it should have been, it had the recipe to be one of the coolest things. I mean, it had Colin Farrell, right in his prime. It had Jamie Foxx. It had the same guy who made the original show. Everything was primed for that to be amazing.
It's updated, looked just really stellar cool.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just
yeah,
turned
yeah,
into
yeah.
a long, boring episode.
Yep, exactly. It was just, I mean, it could have been an episode in the middle of season three that was not very entertaining. You know, nothing cool happened in it. It still had some neat imagery, but, like, just nothing there. You know, and those are two totally different projects, and one worked and the other didn't. But that isn't to say that any faithful reboot's going to fail and anything that goes completely sideways is going to succeed, because there's tons of examples of that not going that way,
Plus,
too.
It's also, you look at the franchises and what they're built on. The other example he had there was Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Dirty Harry's just Clint Eastwood being Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's any of his characters. Nobody's going to be able to play Dirty Harry unless they're trying to play Clint Eastwood.
Right.
And I've always said the only person I would ever want to see in a Dirty Harry movie, because I want to see Dirty Harry like that. I don't want to see Will Smith play Dirty Harry, because he can't pull that off. The only person I would ever have as Dirty Harry is Timothy Olyphant, just because he had that swagger. He had that don't give a damn attitude, and just could. And he had the same cowboy look, but he's not in this era. He's a little old school.
Yeah.
But with a Will Smith thing, it's like that's such a totally different character. What Will Smith would do, it's like, why even throw? You're just throwing Dirty Harry on there.
I love Will Smith, but Will Smith plays Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's what, and that's not a complaint, but that's what it is. But like you said, so you're not going to jump into that role and be a Dirty Harry role, and that's got nothing to do with race or age or anything else.
Right.
It's just style of how that goes. And I think that's sort of a perfect example, because if you want to make a Dirty Harry remake, there's no reason to have Will Smith in it. Because if you just put Will Smith in a cop movie, people are already going to go see it, regardless of what you call
it. Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Now, it's called Bad Boys 3.
Flip that on its head and look at the other stuff they were talking about today. They're talking about Ronda Rousey doing a remake of Roadhouse with her in it. That makes total sense to me. Because Rousey's one of those big names that's coming up. She's big in the sports world. She's got a few movie roles, so she's kind of coming to prominence. It doesn't have to be a scene-for-scene remake of Roadhouse. It can follow that same general story frame. You can put a somewhat known person in it to give it a little bit of interest on that side. You can put the Roadhouse title on it to give it a little bit of interest on the other side. And that can come together into a project that doesn't have to be like an exact remake. It can just follow that general, theme and storyline, and it'll draw interest because of the title. Because people go, oh, Roadhouse, I love Roadhouse, I want to check out the new Roadhouse. That works to me.
Yeah.
That makes sense to do, because Rousey's not a big enough name. People aren't just going to go, Ronda Rousey's in a movie and she's a bouncer. You know, they'll either see it or they won't, but that's not going to bring people in droves. Roadhouse might push it over the edge. Whereas it's the exact opposite of what we're talking about with the Will Smith thing. People are going to see the Will Smith movie
regardless,
no matter what you call it, so why bother?
What do you think about, like, there's been a lot of news just this past week or so about Idris Elba being the new James Bond.
Which, they've been talking about that for 5 or 6 years now, probably. I mean, right when Daniel Craig got his run started, people are like, well, what about Idris Elba? Why can't they do a Black Bond? They can do a Black Bond. They just started with another Bond, you know?
Yeah.
And that gets into the thing. I don't mind the idea of them doing a Black Bond. I've seen so far as people trying to say, well, why can't there be a female Bond? Well, because that's weird. That's not, you know, like, I don't think that's the same thing. You can do female secret agents. I don't know if I want to see a female James Bond. Because
right.
it doesn't fit to, like, why? Again, why bother? It doesn't yeah. fit to me. That's just a publicity scare. I don't mind seeing a black guy do it, and I love Idris Elba is the idea of doing it. But I also fear you get to the point where when people start talking about it enough, then they're going to get to the point where they go, well, now we got to find a black guy. We don't have to find a black guy either.
You're just going
to
find
the best guy you can find.
Find the best guy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how I feel, too. And I do think he'd be an awesome Bond. And I think the what was the issue that was with it, I'm trying to remember who it was that said it, but somebody said he was too straight to be James Bond.
It was one of the...
And that's awful. That's an awful thing to say. Like,
I don't think he meant it like
that. It was
that.
Different. I don't think he meant it so much.
That's another
like
one
that.
Of those things. They put the headline in there of one sentence, and it makes it look terrible. And then you read the interview, and you're like, eh, he didn't mean any... He said a weird phrase, but he didn't mean any harm.
Well, he probably watched Luther and was like, this guy's a little too... More like a Dirty Harry character, where he's not afraid to go on the other side.
Who was it who said that?
But yeah, I don't know about Idris. I think it comes to an age at this point.
You're the Bond guy.
Because by the time they would even shoot that, because he just had a birthday and he's like 46, 45, 46.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel still has one more in him.
Yep.
And those are coming out every 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, he'd be by the time, he'd be 50.
Yeah. That's
I don't want to see old Bonds anymore.
That's the other thing with this, because even before, because like I said, that Idris thing, or Idris?
Idris.
The Idris thing has come up on and off for close to a decade.
Uh-huh. Right.
And again, it was one of those things where like, okay, that's a fine idea, but why are you talking about this before Quantum of Solace even comes out? Like, Daniel Craig's done one, and people are talking about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's sprung back up now, and it's making the rounds again, but just a couple of months ago, they were saying... looks like the odds-on favorite for the betting pools, because this is a thing you can do. You can bet money on who's going to be the next James Bond. You know?
Amazing.
They're like, the odds-on favorite right now is Damian Lewis. And they were saying that 3 or 4 months ago, I think. I'm like, okay, like that would be cool, too. I love Damian Lewis.
They just pick whoever's hot.
Yeah, why in the world are they talking about that now?
Yeah.
Like, they haven't even written the next one that Craig's definitely going to do.
Yeah.
So why in the world are they...
Is that a thing? It is weird, because... They literally have, which I think he is the best Bond, Daniel Craig, and he is gross the most of any Bond movies, and yet they're trying to still push him aside.
Yeah.
They're and being like, well, that's not who we ever wanted, but, you know, whatever.
That's
like,
weird.
Well, you guys are going to see it. You obviously like him.
Oh, yeah.
The Bond franchise, we had that discussion over email the other day. I'm not really super pleased with the direction they've gone. I thought they set up...
The next iteration of
The next chapter of the character with Craig, and they set that whole thing up, bringing Bond, you know, more into the real world, post 9/11, less gimmicky.
Casino
less
Royale could
it.
Have been a Bond reboot. Again, trying not to misuse the word because we complain about that. But it very much, like, none of those movies do they ever say anything concrete about what came when and who was this and whatever else. And that's sort of just the own world they live in, and that's awesome. But that one, more than anyone, made it feel like he was young, he was fresh. They referenced, you know, they showed his first initiation kill, all that stuff. You felt like it was starting a new chapter, and it was sort of like going back to the beginning but doing it for a modern age, like you said. And then the second movie continued that on fairly well, and then the third movie, which, again, when Casino came out, I was under the impression that everyone loved it. They loved the new direction. They were scared about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was hesitant about what it was going to look like, and then it turned out awesome. Then the third movie comes out, and basically what it felt like they did is they went right back to the old 60s stuff, and were like, here we are now. This is the same old, right back to the old formula, and here it is. And I can't... I mean, people obviously responded to it because it got more critically renowned and made more money than any of the other ones, but I didn't think it was the right direction to go after just establishing, you know, which, again, apparently I'm wrong because that's what the people
wanted.
It just wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just weird how that works out. We got off subject.
No, that's okay. That's all right. That's a good topic, though. So one of the other ones that we were just recently talking about as big news was Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes, and that's another one.
I've seen it.
If
now.
You do, yeah,
yeah, we made Danny watch it.
They made me watch it.
Yep,
and you loved it.
Made him.
I did love it. It
he needs to watch it again.
Though. It was super fun. That's I'm one. Certain I will watch it again.
Yeah, because you have to catch the dialogue.
The dialogue is so fun. Key.
The part of the lovable quality of that movie is just watching Kurt Russell bumble.
Yeah.
And if you watch that movie and study it, and that's a lot of people talk about that, like Wang is the hero of that
yes.
movie.
Jack Burton is the sidekick.
Yeah, they
focus on him, so you don't realize it when you first watch it, you know. But he's totally the guy who's bringing up the rear, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do that with The Rock or not, but I don't know that it matters. Like, it might even be even funnier.
Yeah.
If you do that with The Rock.
True.
It totally could be if you've got the right other guy with him, you know?
Yes.
At the same time, that's one of those characters and stories, they could do that either way, and if the product is quality, I'll be happy. They can do a very faithful, not scene for scene, but, you know, story adaptation of that. The Rock could play a similar character, and I think he's got the talent to pull it off. Again, if they give him the right guy to play off of, I think that'll be fine. At the same time, they could just make him sort of a goofy character, put the Jack Burton title on him, give him some crazy Rock one-liners, which is basically what he's been built his last, you know, 5 or 10 years on, and just make a fun action movie around him, and I'd still be totally fine with that.
Yeah.
They won't ruin my childhood by making a different Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah.
So that one can go either way. It's just a matter of what they go. But I haven't seen it. There was a lot of groaning, and a lot of our friends who love that movie were like, oh, now they're doing this. I'm like, no. Like, give that one a run. That could
let's
be awesome.
See. Yeah, let's see what happens.
You know, The Rock doesn't disappoint us often.
Yeah.
And I don't... He's not a guy who looks at things and goes, well... I mean, he can do any project he wants. And he's the type of guy who probably loves Big Trouble in Little China. So I doubt he sat down one day and went, you know what I want to do? Ruin that movie. You know, he's probably got a pretty good idea for something entertaining he wants to do.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, that it's a hard question to really give a solid answer to. I think that you're right, that the best way to really answer it is just to say that it really does depend on the franchise or the movie, and it depends on how they go about it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really those two factors that determines on if it's a good idea or a bad idea and the type of reaction that we give to it.
It's the project itself that really matters when you're talking about this, because there's no right answer.
There isn't.
It all depends on what the idea behind the movie is and how the execution comes through. And again, we can sit here and come up with 100 examples of faithful adaptations that stunk. We can come up with 100 examples of faithful adaptations that worked out well.
Yeah.
And vice versa for the ones that were total offshoot weird stuff, you know. It works like sometimes,
when you,
doesn't
when
others.
You keep a little bit of it, but you go your own, because that's the whole point of remaking it.
Well, that's what, like, I was thinking Star Trek.
Yep, that's Star, the number yep. one. There's four remakes in my list that are the quintessential best. One is Carpenter's The Thing, remake of Thing from Another World. Same concept, but bringing it like more of the special effects in.
Well, you remember stuff like that too. Like, that's widely regarded as a tremendous movie, one of John Carpenter's best. And a lot of people don't even necessarily realize right off the boot that was a remake.
That's a remake.
Yeah.
Cronenberg's The Fly, another remake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bringing more of the special effects into it. Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then Star Trek. Star Trek just flipped it.
Yeah, Star Trek just sort of did both things.
Yeah,
they did.
It did the wild, crazy reboot and the faithful adaptation, and it found a brilliant way to pull them both together.
Yeah.
You know?
And I really liked that movie a lot. I liked both of those Star Trek movies a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and I'm looking forward to another one.
You know, one, and I don't even know if you guys saw this, the Evil Dead remake.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't either, but we've talked about it.
That was one where, and that's the one that just came out a couple years ago here.
Right.
That movie amazed me because I've never really quite seen anything that I can think of off the top of my head that it wasn't really either of these things. It wasn't so much the faithful adaptation. All the characters were different, and the first one was very character-driven, especially with Bruce Campbell, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't a wild, different idea or crazy reboot either. What they did is they boiled that one down to the very brass tacks of, okay, when we wrote The Evil Dead, not thinking we don't have any money and we don't know how we're going to shoot it, but just when they wrote this creepy, weird story, what were the themes? What were the elements that worked? And they sort of boiled it down to that and then rebuilt it back up. And it became this new thing that was clearly, easily identified as what the Evil Dead was, but tonally completely different because they had money.
Huh.
Well, that's that's the same example with the Thing and the Fly. It was the same aspect, the same whole story, and then you boil it down to its core, and it's like, okay, but what can we do? How do we want to make it different? And it, the remake always comes back to the horror movies, because nothing's been remade more than horror movies.
Yeah.
And it seems like the ones that try to be so faithful that it's almost scene for scene the same thing are the ones that usually fail.
Psycho.
I was just about to bring Psycho.
Psycho was a scene for scene remake.
And we got
nobody
a whole
cared.
Bunch in the 2000s. We had the Omen remake. Mm-hmm. I guess they just did a Poltergeist remake?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it. Yeah, even know.
I'm interested just to see him in it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but that's a whole bunch of examples right there of some of those ones, some of those early horror movies that they just remade. They did a couple of Exorcists that weren't
the sequels.
Yeah,
the third one's really good. The second one's bad.
Okay,
and then they did like
I think
a prequel
I've seen the second
ones.
One and not the third one.
Bad,
or maybe I've seen one of the prequels. I can't
the
remember.
Prequels are bad.
Yeah, but they're very. They might as well be reboots, but they're not real solid productions, you know?
Some things you just can't. Like, don't even.
Well, there's things like The Omen, like the new Omen. It's like, hey, you know, I like Liev Schreiber, but I've seen this movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's not bad. There's just nothing special about it.
Yeah.
I never even bothered to watch that Psycho remake because everybody's like, hey, it really is scene for scene, except worse. You know? So, like, well, okay, well, I'll just stick with the old
one.
You know?
Yeah.
But that's exactly it right there. Sometimes you can do a faithful, like, because you can't be more faithful than scene for scene.
No.
And it doesn't always work, you know?
Right.
But,
it wasn't bad. It was just,
exactly.
We saw this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nothing new or fresh. And it was creepier back then.
Yeah.
There you go. I think, I mean, that's really it.
Yeah.
I mean, it really depends. It's a hard, there's not a solid answer to that.
There's no right or wrong. It really depends on the project. But
great topic, though.
Exactly. Because we just sat here and reminisced about 20 different movies
that
were fun to think about.
Right? Yeah, so excellent topic. So thank you again to Jack and to everybody else that wrote in. We really appreciate you guys sending us these topics. It really, I think, helps to add a lot to the episodes and gives us things to think about that we may not think about normally. So
it's kind of taken on a lot of the format of the show, and I really enjoy it.
I do, too.
Because there's always, there's those slow news days.
Yeah.
You know, especially coming around this time of year. So now we don't have to hunt down and pick out just the weirdest stories to kind of expand on. Now we can just talk about pop culture and geekdom and nerdiness and what the show is all about. So we appreciate you guys for helping us kind of drive that vehicle towards topics.
Definitely. So, hey, if you guys want to add your own topic suggestions or ask us questions, the best way to do that is at our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/geekeasypodcast. So head over there, give us a like, feel free to send us messages or post right there on the wall with your questions or topic suggestions. And usually the week of recording, I always put up a post to remind you guys, hey, ask us some questions. We'll answer them on the show. So we would love to hear from you guys. That way we've got more things to discuss and think about and talk about and just geek out with you guys. I think it'd be great. I think that's going to wrap up this episode. We did really well. We're going about an hour and 40 minutes of some awesome discussion. So that's about a perfect way to wrap things up.
Can I make a confession?
Absolutely.
Mine was pancake batter.
Yours was pancake.
Oh, that's nasty.
Awesome.
You made pancakes?
I know. You didn't even share the pancakes.
I didn't make pancakes.
You just drank the batter. Didn't even give us any. Well, we got to give a special thanks to Ryan for joining us again.
Yeah.
So
good to see you.
Good to be back.
Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I'll be back in a year.
I was going to say, you're welcome anytime you're home. Anytime you're around, you're welcome to be on. Do you have anything you want to shout out to, or do you want to give a Twitter handle or anything like that to anybody? I don't know.
I'm not on the internet.
Okay, he's not on the internet, so there you go.
What is the internet?
Yeah. But Jonathan has a Twitter handle.
Yeah, JLeonard31, at JLeonard31.
There you go. And I'm at PixelDan, so feel free to tweet us. Use the hashtag GeekEasyPodcast when talking to us, and we're happy to chat with you there. And, of course, Facebook, that's the best place to chat with us, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
We got the podcast available in multiple formats. We are on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Podbean. So any of those, whichever one is your preferred destination for listening to podcasts, be sure to subscribe to us. If you're on iTunes, give us a rating, leave us a review. That way it helps spread the word. Once we get so many reviews, we can start getting ranked on iTunes. So the more reviews we get, the better. That'd be great of you guys.
As soon as this ends, instead of going on to your next podcast you want to listen to, switch over to the phone function on your phone and call everyone you know.
There you go.
Tell them to listen.
Right. Listen and leave us a review. That's
very important.
It's very important stuff.
To us.
Where did they send their money into?
We can send your money to...
We take donations.
Ryan at...
I got a P.O. box. Oh, no. Start funding my next movie.
We'll crowdsource it.
Well, yeah, we're going to start a Kickstarter to get Worst-tastic 2 made just so that Ryan can get more paychecks.
Worst-er-tastic.
Worst-er-tastic. And, of course, I put the clips of the show up on YouTube as well. So if you guys want to watch the video version, I put all the segments up there on YouTube, separated by segment, so that way you can search for the ones that you're interested in. And, of course, hit that subscribe button, and you won't miss out on any of the other videos that I do as well. Subscribe buttons somewhere over here. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up the episode. So until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
I'm Ryan.
He's Ryan. Take care, guys.
It's him.
It's him.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.